writer says, you know, so Sir Isaac Newton, he figured out the theory of gravity, you know, and that was back when scientists actually saw everything as God's creation, and he wants to figure out how God did it, you know. Well, we've gone a long way from that nowadays. But he asks down here, how does effect point to a cause in the world? Now, this has got nothing to do with this lesson. But other than this sentence I just read you. Anybody in here ever heard of Norm Geisler? Norm Geisler. He used to love to go to college campuses. And he would use this, cause and effect. It is the basis of science. Law of causality. Nothing exists nothing exists that didn't have a cause. And so he would say, this is quick, he would say, okay, the universe, who caused the universe? And of course, college students would say Big Bang now, I think, and all. And then you'd say, okay, who caused the Big Bang? And you keep going until finally you come to the uncaused cause. And that's who we worship. The uncreated God in heaven created the universe. You know? So, anyway, they wouldn't have trouble arguing with that. He was a lot of fun to. He wrote a book called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, you know, and in it he brings that about. I got some notes here somewhere. Let's see, and you know, we're going to learn in a couple of these verses, in the next few verses, that how powerful God is, that can out of His Word He can create our universe, our world, and that effect affects us. Now, I want to tell you, I feel blessed. I've got a loving wife. Well, sometimes she loves me, but I've got a loving wife.
You're lucky.
Yeah. All right. And I haven't gotten a good report on my cancer yet. I'm still waiting on that. But I have received cards and calls from this class, you know, through my ordeal, okay? And then on top of that, I've gotten cards and calls from the rest of the church, you know? The men particularly, some men call me, you know? And we just, I remember Ruth, I think Jim was the first person who ever spoke to me about having cancer, you know, and I appreciate that. He was a great man, I think. He's just wonderful. And so when you read the Bible, there's a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was killed by Hitler because of his religious beliefs and was against Hitler. But he was killed like the 1st of April, and Hitler committed suicide at the end of April. But he was probably the first guy to speak out against Hitler and the way he was doing it. And this was before anyone knew about what was going on with the Holocaust. And he was a professor in seminary, and they were interviewing some of his students, and Bonhoeffer taught his students to read the Bible just as God is speaking to you. In other words, you're not reading it just to know it. You're reading it because you want to know God, you know? And that's the way you should study the Bible. Let's Read the first verse here. This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. So, not only the Ephesians were just the same as you and this class and this church. You know, you're showing that you really care about somebody in a need. Now, I mean, of course, I'm not the only one that y'all. Other people have told me that this church is great about, you know, checking on you, making you feel part of what they are, what we are, Christian love. And this is what Paul is talking about. The saints show love for one another. Now, Carolyn and I were sitting watching the news the other night, and a report came for people under 40. They had done a survey, and only 30% of those people had any religious beliefs at all. Now, this is millenniums we're talking about here. And I just thought, you know, this is a tragic. And I think it's got a lot to do with the way school is taught in some of our high schools, and mostly in our colleges, though. Is anything they can do, like evolution, to undermine God's creation, they're going to do it. I think I've told y'all, Richard Dawkins is one of the leading atheists of our time, and his favorite saying is, evolution gave me something to believe in other than God. So evolution is a joke, really, if you stop and really think about it. So the another troubling thing about this survey, now this is hard to believe, but 20% of those under 40 surveyed said, I don't have one friend in this world. I don't have one friend, you know? And I'm up here, why aren't you, look, Jesus Christ is your friend. You don't have to, you know? And so I'm thinking, I said, this is really tragic. And I don't know if y'all, one of the first things that came to mind was this kid down in Florida that shot and killed all these other students. If you saw any of the interviews with the other students, nobody was his friend. They ostracized him. Now, they all said he acted so peculiar, you know. And I'm wondering, I mean, I'm thinking there's a lot of these crazies that are shooting up people that have no friend. They don't see killing someone else. That's the enemy to them. And it is really tragic in our time. And Paul says, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in our prayers. You know, we're told to pray without ceasing. And I'll tell you, in my life, like little Michael, my niece, throughout the day, he will come up in my heart. And right that moment, I'll say a prayer, hoping, asking God to intervene, intercessory, intercept, whatever. And Carolyn's the same way. We've prayed for little Michael many times, because Claire, his mother, recently accepted Christ. I say recently, that's 3 or 4 years, something like that. But she recently accepted Christ, and she's had a miscarriage about 2 or 3 years ago. She wants a baby more than anything else, you know. And so little Michael comes into the world. They told her that he was going to probably die when he was born. But we're praying that God will intervene. And that's what he's talking about when he says, I remember you in my prayers. We can pray without ceasing. I pray that God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and in the knowledge of Him. You know, that's what we study His Word for. And I think that that should be all of our prayers, to get to know God better. The more, I always go back to chapter 12 in Romans, when Paul says, you get rid of self and you know the perfect will of God. That's what we want. We want the perfect will of God. Now, when we accepted Christ, and I've had some Christians look at me funny about this, but when we accepted Christ, we also got God's Spirit come and dwell in us. And when I tell someone you know what? That was the Spirit working in you. And we have got to start seeing it that way almost on everything that we do. We want the Spirit to guide each one of us in each and everything. Verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the wealth of His glorious inheritance in the saints? Look at that. Christ, the Father, we're an inheritance. It's not we inherited Him. He inherited us. What is the wealth of His glorious inheritance in the saints? So we became members of His family when we accepted Christ. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the mighty working of His strength? Now, you know, this goes back to what I was talking about, God being the Creator. So what do you do when you come up with... First off, our language has got to reflect our faith. When we're talking to everyone, anyone, you know, well, God bless me on this. You know, the Spirit, I feel like, led me that way. Now, y'all know what happens to Vice President Pence when he says, you know, God told me to do this. Well, he's reading God's Word, and God speaks to us through it. And but we need to do that. And so when we run across some of these 70% that don't have any religious beliefs, you know, none, then what do? You can't say, well, you need to be saved. Christ is our redemption. You can't do that because they don't know they should be saved. So I'm reading a book called Total Truth. And so Nancy Piercy says, you have to go back to the beginning. You have to start with creation. And you got to tell them about how God had everything just really good in His creation. And then we had to fall. And that's why we've got the mess we've got now. You know, I forgot, some atheist I was listening to was talking about the mess in the world, and talking about the mess, and I forgot what his excuse was, but you know what? If you think about it, the fall is the only real answer that we have of why things are like they are. You know, why do people act the way they do? You know, Cain, it wasn't long after he was thrown out of Eden that he committed one, in my opinion, one of the worst sins there is. He murdered his brother, you know. So what, you know, you have no other explanation of why things are as bad as they are. Now, we're the only good part of it. The ones who have accepted Christ. We need to influence the rest of the world, you know. And it's very difficult now with kids being brainwashed in our colleges and stuff, you know, because they're so susceptible to anything. So he's talking about the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the mighty work. Now, we come to verse 20. He exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in heaven. So the power over death is immeasurable. When something's dead, it's dead. It's gone. There is no reviving it. Tell Jimmy, sometimes we got bad seed, and when the seed, it looks fine, but it will not sprout, you know. So we can't do anything other after life has left. I'm always amazed, you know, people who don't have any faith at all. I'll be at a funeral and they'll walk up to the casket and they'll say, "Well, gosh, he looks great, but he's gone." Yeah, he's gone, you know. And so, wait a minute. How can he be gone if you don't believe in the Spirit? How can you say he's gone, you know? What you should say if you're atheist is there's nothing. It's all, you know. But the truth of the matter is physically, like if I drop dead right in the moment and you took me to the hospital and you did all these MRIs or whatever, all the x-rays, whatever. Every cell that is in my body is still here. But something's missing. My spirit has left this body, you know? And so you can't explain it any other way. There is more to me than my physical body here. There's more to you, you know. Verse 21, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is the body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. All creation came from God through Jesus Christ, as we know in John, book of John. Now, when I read that, I said, wait a minute. Paul's saying he's got authority over everything. And here we are, we got a mess in this world. And we're the only good things that that I see that goes on in this world. He's talking about the power over us, but he's also saying, one day, every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's what he means. He has power over everything, the physical here and the spiritual. I used to tell prisoners, if you don't have Christ in your life, you don't have a future. It's all going to just end, and you're going to be in some places not too good. And they would understand that. The last paragraph, I like that. It says the church is the body of Christ and the fullness of Christ. There is great diversity of understanding concerning how the church is the fullness of Christ. At the very least, we can say that the church is the means by which Christ is fulfilling his purpose. We have a purpose. The transformation of the world. All bodies are the means by which we accomplish things. Our bodies are. As Christ's body, we are his instruments through which he brings salvation to the world and thus fills all things. You know, I thought of you and Nick, Sarah, when he says the fullness of Christ. And the reason was I saw this stupid movie. Has anybody ever seen Evan Almighty? Evan Almighty is a guy... A guy
with an ark.
Yeah, he built the ark. Yeah. Did you see that? And you know what? Hollywood finally got it right at the very end. We can change the world by every little act of kindness. We can do that. We can affect the rest of the world. And I just thought, my goodness, they got something right.